You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. To some, the idea of a watch list raises uncomfortable thoughts and worries about infringement on people's constitutional rights. And there is basis in our history for that worry. The Red Scare from Senator Joe McCarthy in the 1950s. The post-9/11 terrorist watch list with its various secondary lists, such as the no-fly list. As lawsuits challenge the constitutionality of these watch lists, courts are ruling they are treading on due process rights spelled out in our Constitution. Now there is a new website called Professor Watch List. Its self-described mission, and I'm quoting here, is to expose and document college professors who discriminate against conservative students and advance leftist propaganda in the classroom. Professor Watch List is a project of Turning Point USA. It's a conservative group founded by Charlie Kirk in 2012. Here with me is a Calvin College professor who teaches social work. Joseph Kylam, his name, was put on this watch list just a few weeks ago. Joseph, welcome to Stateside.
It's great to be here.
Tell us a little first about your work and your time at Calvin College.
I've been at Calvin for about 8 years now, and I teach primarily social work. So I teach communities and organizations classes. I teach a capstone course on the integration of faith and social work. And I've been pretty involved with some partnerships that we have in West Africa. So I was pretty surprised to be put on the list. Calvin College is not known to be a radical institution by most folks. Many folks would hear Calvin College, think West Michigan, and think of a more conservative institution. And in many ways, that's probably the case.
Well, certainly Betsy DeVos is an alumna. She, of course, is Donald Trump's choice for education secretary. And if I'm remembering correctly, George W. Bush, when he was president, gave the commencement speech there in 2005. So Calvin doesn't quite fit the profile of a place that is advancing leftist propaganda.
It does not. And so I was initially surprised, but on sort of further reflection, I think it makes quite a bit of sense. Both of the aspects of my identity that I would sort of put forefront, social work and Christianity, have both been labeled as dangerous ideas throughout history. So for social work, I would look back to Jane Addams, the founder of Hull House, one of the matriarchs of our profession. She was put onto a watch list in the 1920s for her work on pacifism, work against First World War I and then World War II. And J. Edgar Hoover, the longtime head of the FBI, once labeled her the most dangerous woman in America, both for pacifism, for her work with immigrants, for her work with the poor, for her advocacy for social justice. So I think on a little further reflection, I think that makes a lot of sense for a social worker to be on a list like this.
Joe, what is your understanding as to why you landed on the professor watch list?
So my understanding is that this list is primarily culled from alt-right and far-right media sources. I don't think this list is in any way an objective assessment. I think there are many of my colleagues who would say, look, what Professor Kylama teaches is what we believe as well. I think you saw this out of Notre Dame. Notre Dame had a couple professors, Gary Gooding and one other professor, put on the list. And dozens of Notre Dame professors said, hey, we would like to be on the list. We teach the same things. What I think happened here was certain of us have written pieces that have gone around the alt-right web, and those of us who rose to that level of attention or had something go viral have been singled out and sort of put on this list to make examples out of us.
This stemmed from an incident, and correct me if I'm wrong here, on November 22nd, where a couple of students reportedly drew swastikas and wrote the words white power in the snow on several cars at Calvin. Is that what kind of prompted this?
Yeah, so this happened a little over a year ago. Our campus is still sort of working through this. A couple of students, as you said, drew a swastika and wrote white power in sort of the fresh snow on the back of a car. What their intentions were, I think, are sort of irrelevant. It caused a lot of fear for our students of color. Intentions aside, whether it was intended as a hate crime or a joke, doesn't matter. The impacts were real. And as we struggled to wrestle with how to respond to this as a campus, I wrote a piece saying, hey, I think we at Calvin are good at condemning sort of overtly white supremacist language and symbols, but we sometimes struggle to condemn the idea of white privilege or the idea of institutional racism. And I made the argument that if you reject that notion, if there is no such thing as institutional racism or privilege, then I think you are assuming a degree of white supremacy. So I wanted to say, hey, look, it's easy to condemn the swastika, but we've got a lot of work to do as a community to say, to acknowledge the legacy of institutional racism, even within our own denomination, within our own church, within our own college.
And we should note, you were saying this is November 22nd, 2015. So this is not something that happened like we've seen quite a burst of similar incidents since Election Day.
Right. So this was pre-election. We've certainly had some incidents on our campus since the election. I think many campuses have, whether those are microaggressions or more macroaggressions. But this was prior to the election, and that piece got picked up by Tucker Carlson's website, The Daily Caller. And from there, it sort of ricocheted around the list of usual suspects. So it was picked up by InfoWars, who is now in the news for propagating the Pizzagate myth.
Yes.
A bunch of Tea Party and Patriot News organizations, all the way over to neo-Nazi groups like Stormfront.
What is your take, Joe, on the purpose of Watchlist, like Professor Watchlist? What does advancing leftist propaganda even mean in the context of exchanging and exploring ideas on a college campus?
Yeah, I don't pretend to know what Charlie Kirk exactly means by that. I'd be very interested in hearing him. Because if you ask any of my students, what I actually teach is critical thinking. You know, Calvin's mission as an institution is to equip students to think deeply, to act justly, and to live wholeheartedly as Christ's agents of renewal in the world. I would say that's what I do. In fact, I would say that as a social worker and as a Christian, I am actually very interested in dialogue across groups on trying to understand the other. None of my students would have ever said that they felt like my classroom was an unsafe space. That's what makes it so ironic that I'm on the list, because my inclusion on the list is strictly on the basis of this viral article and not any sort of substantive evaluation of my teaching. I don't think these are radical ideas to act justly, to think deeply, to think critically. In fact, in a post-truth moment, I think that's what we need more of.
So the watch list really does seem to, as was pointed out in an opinion piece by George Yancey in the New York Times, the watch list is consistent with this nostalgic desire, quote, to make America great again, which in turn can certainly be seen as especially threatening for people of color.
I think George is right about it, that I think the idea of making America great again is predicated on a notion that America was universally great for everyone at some point in the past. And the truth is that it was not. America is a great nation. I'm happy to be American. I'm proud to be an American. I would consider myself a patriot, but we have to wrestle with the legacy of genocide of the Native Americans, of chattel slavery, where we literally owned other people. America has never been sort of universally great for everyone who wanted it to be great for them. As Langston Hughes, I believe, has said, America was never America to me. I think we need to wrestle with that. And so I get concerned about the pairing of a nostalgia for a previous time and the rhetoric of an anti-political correctness. It's really the pairing of those that concerns me. Because we have people saying this whole notion of social justice, this whole notion of being careful about how we talk about other people, we need to get rid of that, and we need to go back to a time when we could say whatever we wanted about people. And I just find that abhorrent.
What do you think, Joe, this type of watch list, this professor watch list and this mindset, what does this mean for what could happen in the course of teaching, of academia, of exploring ideas?
Well, I would be very concerned if this sort of silenced folks. Now, I don't think that will be the case. It certainly hasn't silenced me, and I don't think it will. But I would be very concerned if institutions then felt pressured. Pressured from donors, pressure from parents to go after these professors, to monitor them more closely. I think that's a dangerous road to go down. I think academia needs to be a place where we can engage issues from multiple perspectives, but do so critically. And if we can't do that, especially, again, in a post-truth moment when it is opinion and feelings that seem to matter, I think any attempt to sort of silence truth-speaking is extremely dangerous.
Joseph Kilema, professor at Calvin College, whose name was put on the professor watch list a few weeks ago. Joe, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
It was my pleasure, Cindy. Thank you.